To our weekly Tehillim class. It's a great tzchus, as I say each and every week, to have the opportunity to learn together. I want to thank you all for joining me. I also want to thank, I don't think they're on yet, but hopefully they will be soon. I want to thank our sponsors for today, by my in-laws, Sandy and Seymour Siegel, and family, in honor of Rebbetzin Ariel Moskowitz's recent birthday, and another birthday, which we will not mention, but we want to thank them very much for their sponsorship. If anyone is interested in sponsoring a future class, either of our Tehillim class or of our Parsha class, please let me or Lee in the shul office, L-E-E, at brsonline.org know. And again, we are appreciative of any and all sponsorships. And again, it's usually we're not learning at this time of the year because too many people are away. So it's great to be able to continue our learning even on Zoom. Please, God, Bezras Hashem, come Elul, we will be back in person. We'll obviously also have an online option, but it's very important, obviously, to get back to in-person learning. That is where you feel the real energy of Torah learning, the unity in Torah learning. So we're very excited to be doing that. But at least now, until Tisha B'Av, we will be learning still on Zoom. Thank you very much, Penny Perlman, my neighbor. Okay, so here we go. We are studying chapter 56 of Tehillim. Nun Vav, as we continue our march through Sefer Tehillim. Tehillim Nun Vav is actually dovetails off of a Perek Tehillim that we had learned previously, and we will touch upon that in a lot, actually, in our discussion of this, and that's Perek 34. Perek 34 of Tehillim, we say every Shabbos morning. It might be a little bit more familiar to you than this Perek Tehillim, and there we say, LeDavid, Bishanoso es tamo lifnei Avimelech, Vayigarsheu Vayelach. If you remember, you can listen to it on YU Torah, our class from chapter 34 of Tehillim. And as we referenced over there, that was speaking to a very specific historical context. David wrote both chapter 34 and this chapter after he fled from the Plishtim to escape Shaul. There, he pretended to be crazy so that Goliath, his brother, he just killed Goliath, his brother would not murder him. So he finds himself in the court of Achish. Achish over there in Perek 34 of Tehillim is referred to as Avimelech, Chazal tell us. So he finds himself in the court of Achish, and all of a sudden he is recognized as, not yet, King David. David HaMelech realizes the precariousness of the situation that he is in, and he feigns insanity. The pasuk over there, again, if you want to look it up, it's Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chaf Aleph, pasuk 13 and 14. Vayasam David es advarim ha'elu bilvavo. David put it in his heart. Vayira me'od mimnei Achish Melech Gad. And he became very afraid of King Achish, Melech Gad, because again, they said that this is David. If you go a pasuk earlier, Vayomru Avde Achish Elav, the courtiers, the servants of Achish said to him, Halo ze David Melech Haaretz, Halo leze Yanubim Cholos Lemur, Hikasha Uol Balafav, Vidavid Berivavosav. Right? That's of who they're saying, that Shaul has slain his thousands, David his tens of thousands. In other words, David is recognized, so David becomes very afraid. So what's the one way to get yourself out of there? David HaMelech can't run away. He's not exactly sure what he's going to do. So Pasuk 14 over there, Vayishano es ta'amo be'inehem. David becomes crazy. He acts crazy. Vayisholeil be'yadam. For their benefit. Vayitav al delasos hashar vayored riro al zekano. So what does he do? He starts scratching, making scratching marks on the doors. He lets saliva run down his beard. He acts like a crazy person. Vayomer Achish elav adav. Achish says to his servants, Hine tiru ish mishtageya. Lama tevioso ala. You see this crazy person? Why are you bringing him to me? Chasar, one of the, I think, all-time great psukim in Tanakh. Chasar mishugaim ani. And do I lack crazy people in my kingdom? You bring another one for me? Hazeh yavo el beisi, that this guy should enter into my house. So Achish says, I don't want him anymore, throws him out. I was remiss to not mention at the beginning, in addition to thanking my in-laws for sponsoring today, but obviously our learning today with the tragedy that took place in Miami in Sunrise overnight with the building collapse. So our learning should be for refuah shleima for all those who need, and that they should just be able to find everyone in a safe manner And again, no one should know any more hardship or suffering. So again, we are thinking of them and our hearts are with them. So David HaMelech, again in Sefer Shmuel, fakes craziness. Achish says, what do I need this for? I have enough crazy people in my kingdom. And so he throws David HaMelech out. That was, not yet Melech, he throws David out. That was chapter 34 of Tevilim, LeDavid, B'shanaso es tamo livrei HaMelech. When David feigned craziness, Vayigarshehu Vayilach, they threw him out. And then the rest of the perek over there is David HaMelech thanking Hashem. This perek, as we'll see, is parallel to that. Okay, and again, we're going to start Pasuk 56, perek 56, excuse me. Lamnatseach al yonat elaim rechokim leDavid michtam bechozoso plishtim bagat. Very strange introduction. Very, very strange introduction. We're going to have to talk about that as we go on. But leDavid lamnatseach al yonat elaim. A yonat elaim is like a mute dove. Rechokim leDavid michtam. Rechokim means far away, right? So a michtam bechozoso plishtim bagat, when the plishtim seized him in God. So again, historically parallel to Perek 34, historically parallel to the 21st chapter of Sefer Shmuel Aleph, we have to figure out this very strange introduction. Al yonat elem, rechokim leDavid michtam. I have no idea what that means. I have no idea why it teaches me that way. Right? Who are we talking about here? So Rashi says, al atzmo, that the mute, distanced dove is David Amar Shahaya Rachok Meretz Yisrael. David was far and distant from Eretz Yisrael. Eitzel Achish. Vayu Achav Shalgalios Mevakshim Rishus Machish Lahargo. And the brothers of Goliath had asked for permission to kill David. And he is like a Yonah Almat. He's like a quiet Yonah. In other words, he doesn't want to say who he is. He doesn't want to show his cards. And so he's being a little bit quiet. He's trying to blend in. Says Radak, Be'echoz, Shechashvu plishtim la'choz la'amito. The plishtim wanted to seize him, and they wanted to kill him. Kishamru la'achish halozeh David melech haaretz. Right, and again, this is what we read in Sefer Shmuel Aleph. They said, this is David, the king of the land. Ad shemerov pachto, because David was so afraid, he tolel va'asa atzmo meshuga. Again, as we know, he made himself crazy. Lefichach kara atzmo Yonas elem ki Yonah hagolam imkoma, like a dove who is exiled from his land. Vaya elem b'neim shlo ayachol adaber ela kedivri meshuga. He couldn't speak. He was afraid. He just wanted to blend in, says the Radak. So that is how the Radak understands it. The Yonat elem is David who has to be quiet. Rechokim is a reference to David who has to flee far away to escape Shaul. And again, elem is he has to be quiet in order to save his life. We'll see another interpretation at the end. I won't give you all my cards right now, but that is at least how the classic Mefarshim understand the first pasuk. I was remiss. I also didn't give you the structure of the chapter of the Perek Tehillim. Perek Tehillim is broken up into three parts. Again, we're on chapter 56. Psukim 2 through 9 is David HaMelech prays to Hashem for salvation from his captors. 10 through 12 is once again David expressing his trust that the day will come when his enemies will retreat, when they will no longer oppress him. And then 13 through 14, David affirms that on that day, when the enemies retreat, David HaMelech will fulfill his vows of thanksgiving to Hashem. If you were here last week, you will notice that it is parallel to the chapter that we read last week, certainly in the structure of the way that it did it. So again, that is the three sections of this Perek Tehillim, chapter 56. So David is on the run. He has to fake insanity in order to save him. And here is the song that he sings. Chaneni Elohim ki she'afani enosh. Kol hayom lochem yilchatzeni. Right, have mercy on me. Chaneni Elohim ki she'afani enosh. She'afani, she'ifa, is a funny word. She'ifa means, so if you look at the, like, Metzudas David, Rotzim liv loa, see, they want to swallow me up. In other words, they want to persecute me. But if you think of the word she'ifa, the way we use it, have a she'ifa for something means a desire for something, right? So I have a she'ifa to grow in Judaism. Here, what are the enemies doing? They have a she'ifa to harm him, right? The exact opposite of what you should be having desires for. So it's a play on words, obviously, to show us just how evil these people are. So chaneni Elohim, have mercy on me. Kishafani Anosh, because people are trying to swallow me up, they're trying to persecute me. Kol Hayom Lochem Yilchatzeni, all day long they are waging battle against me. Yilchatzeni means, of course, that they are trying to commit harm against me. Okay, Pasuk Gimel. Shafu Shorai Kol Hayom. Again, that same word, right? Shafu Shorai Kol Hayom, that they are desiring to harm me all day long. Ki Rabim Lochamim Li, because there are many people who are fighting against me. Marom. Now, the word Marom is a very strange word. Like, if you just look in an English translation, it says, O Exalted One, right? So what that means is that David HaMelech is talking, and he says, Marom, in other words, it's an acknowledgement that he is talking to Hashem. The Malbim has a beautiful interpretation. The Malbim says, what is Marom? He says, Mi Marom. What does that mean, Mi Marom? He says, Haim, the enemies, Choshvin Shemina Shemayim Askimim Lahargeni. They think that you, Hashem, agree with harming me. And that really, Hashem, you are waging battle against me from the heavens. So it's the example of our enemies, let's say the Holocaust, the persecution, the Crusades, saying, you see the fact that God gave us the ability to murder and massacre the Jewish people. It must be that God agrees with this, right? That God has given up on the Jewish people, that they are no longer the chosen people, and that therefore now we can kill them because God condones the act. God agrees with the act. Says the Malbim, v'zeh sheker. Of course that's not true. Ki rak enosh shafani lo mimarom. It's just enosh. It's just people who want to harm me, but not from God. Ki behefech. It's the exact opposite. And that leads you, says the Malbim, into Pasuk 4. Yom ira ani eleich elecha eftach. A beautiful, beautiful, profound Pasuk. Yom ira. On the day that I'm afraid, ani eilecha eftach, I put my trust in you. What a relatable pasuk. A pasuk that can relate to us in so many different aspects of our lives. But on the day that we are afraid, who doesn't have days where they're afraid? It could be a doctor's appointment. It could be something with a child, a grandchild. Right? It could be a building collapsing. It could be any number of things. Yom ira, that on the day that you're afraid, ani eilecha eftach. It's a reminder that we put our faith in you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, when I always reference these chapters of Tehillim, some of them, especially when David speaks about his enemies, it's a little bit harder to relate to, although I will make it very relatable at the end, but it's certainly a little hard to relate to. And then you have psukim like this, which are unbelievably profound and relatable. Yom ira, on the day when I'm afraid, ani eilecha eftach, I put my faith in you, Hashem. Pasuk 5. Be'elohim ahalel dvaro. Be'elohim batachti lo ira. Mayase basar li. Right? In who? Right? Be'elohim ahalel. Right? God, I praise you. Be'elohim batachti. In God, I put my trust in you. Lo ira. And therefore, I'm not going to be afraid at all. Mayase basar li. What are people going to be able to do to me? Now, of course, it's a silly pasuk because people are trying to do a lot of things to David at this moment in time. Yet what he's really saying is, existentially, what can they do to me? Yeah, they could harm me here. But we believe in a system of reward and punishment. We believe in Olam Abba. So, Mayase Basarli, in the grand scheme of things, what are they going to be able to do to me? Kol Hayom Devarai Yatsevo, all day long, they're causing me grief and hardship. Kol Machshavo Sam Lara, all they do is they plot evil against me. Pasuk Zayin. Yagoru Yitzpono Hema. Akeva yishmoru kashir kivu nafshi. Yagoru means they plot. Yitzponu means they lay in wait. In other words, they're hiding. They're waiting to like jump against me. There's a word I'm looking for. They're laying in ambush. That's the word I'm looking for, right? Hema akeva yishmoru. What's akev? So the akev is your heel. Yishmoru, what does it mean? They're guarding my heel. It means they're watching over every move that I make. Every move that I make, they're plotting against me. Kashir kivu nafshi. And they're just hoping for my death. Right? What a sad existence. They're watching every step that I make, hoping that I'll either walk into the wrong hands or that I'll make a misstep. And all they're doing is yikavu. They're hoping for nafshi, for my life. Al aven palet lamo. Be'af amim horeid Elohim. Hashem, cast them out for their evil and for their wickedness. and subdue people in your anger and others. Hashem, show your rage and show your anger towards what they are doing for me. Pasuk 9, again, a beautiful pasuk. Nodi safarta ata sima dimasi benodecha. Halo besifra secha. Beautiful pasuk. Nodi means my wandering, right? Nad benad, we know in the Torah. So nodi means my wandering. Safarta ata, right? Hashem, count all my wanderings. In other words, Hashem, I hope you're keeping track of how many times I have to run away. Just in the last 3 weeks, if you think about it, we've read about David HaMelech running from one place to another place to another place, and every time he gets settled in one place, he has to run to the next place. So David HaMelech looks to Hashem and says, Hashem, I hope you're keeping a count at least. Nodi sipartata. I hope you're at least keeping track of all of the hardship that I'm going through and all of the wanderings I'm going through. Sima dimasi binodecha. Place all of my tears in your flask. In other words, again, Hashem, I hope that you're keeping track of all the hardship that I went through. I hope you're keeping track of all of my tears. Halo b'sifra secha. Right? B'sefer. We know this from Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the Shlosha Svarim. Hashem, I hope you're keeping this all in your record. I hope in your grand ledger, you're accounting for every time I have to run away. You're counting for every tear that I shed. Hashem, please, I hope you're keeping track of all of this. Because then, Az, Yashuvu, Oivai, Achor, Bayom, Ekra. My enemies will retreat on the day that I call out to you. Zeya Dati, Ki Elohim Li. Because this I know, that you are my God. In other words, he is not, Chas V'Shalom, given up on Hashem. Quite the opposite. He is doubling down in his Emuna in Hashem. Pasuk, Yudalf. Be'elohim ahalel davar. Be'elohim ahalel davar. Right? In God, whose words I praise. In God, whose words I praise. What does that mean? So you'll notice over here that despite the fact that it is Elohim twice, right? That it refers to God as twice. In the first one, it's Elohim. And in the second one, it's Yud Kei Vav Kei. Elohim and Yud Kei Vav Kei, while they both mean God in the vernacular, they actually represent very different things. Elohim is God as the Midah, as the characteristic of justice, of judgment. Yud Kei Vav Kei is the Midas HaRachamim. It's God's attribute of mercy. Says the Metzudas David, Rotzal Omar, Bein Mitaheg Imi B'Midas HaElohim, Shu Midas Din. Whether you relate to me through judgment, Ahlel Dvaro, I'm going to praise you, Hashem. Ubein min nahegi mi b'midat Hashem, and whether you relate to me with Yud Kei Vav Kei, Shehu Rachamim, which is mercy, Ahlel Dvaro, Vavarech Esara, Kemo Ala Tova. David says, whatever you do to me, whatever you throw my way, Hashem, the good, the bad, the ugly, no matter what you throw my way, Hashem, I'm going to praise you. If you choose to relate to me through Midas Hadin, I'll praise you. If you choose to relate to me through Midas HaRachamim, I'll praise you. During the good times, I'll praise you. During the challenging times, I'll praise you as well. What a beautiful interpretation. Because again, if you just read it without that understanding, it just seems superfluous. God, I praise you. God, I praise you. No. Says Mitzudas David. It's very different. Rashi says it in a little bit more terse form. So I read for you the Mitzudas David, but it's also found in Rashi. That again, Rashi says, Al Midas Adin ve'al Midas HaRachamim Ahalel. Both Hashem, no matter what you throw my way, I'm going to praise you. As we've referenced in the past, we say this every single day, 3 times a day, 2.5 times a day, I'll say. Right? We say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Same thing. Hashem Elokeinu, Yud Kei Vav Kei, and Elokim, Hashem Echad. Malbim over there points out a beautiful understanding of it. Why the double reference to God? So again, he points out, Yud Kei Vav Kei is Rachamim. Elokeinu is Din. Hashem Echad. There are nations of the world that believe in duality. Right? That there are multiple gods. Right? Think about the Greek mythology. So Greek mythology was all about this. You had the god of war and the god of peace, the god of love and the god, right? You had different gods, and they were always fighting with each other. And depending on which one was victorious at that moment in time, that's what the world down here experienced. So if the god of war won out, there'd be war in this world. If the god of love won out, now there'd be love and peace in the world. So they were, says the Malbim, because people believe that. We say Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The God who is the God of judgment And the God is the God of mercy, Hashem Echad. They're all one and the same. It's not two. It's one God. And the same as the Mitzvot David points out, right? Ve'avarech al hara kamo al hatova. Even during tough times, this has been a very difficult week for our community. We nonetheless, we praise Hashem in the bad times, the same way we praise Hashem in the good times. Pasuk 12. This is the conclusion of the second section. Be'elohim batachti lo ira. Hashem, again, I put my faith in you. I will not fear. Maya se adam li. Again, what can a person do to me? Now we come to the last section. Last section was David affirms that on the day when his enemies will retreat, he will fulfill his vows to Hashem. Alai Elohim nidarecha. Ashalim todos lach. Again, Hashem, I will pay my vows to you. I will give forth my thanksgiving to you. Ki tzalta nafshi mimaves, because you will have saved my soul from death. Halo raglai midechi lisalech lifnei Elohim. Again, you have supported my foot from stumbling. Right, my foot was stumbling. You supported it. Lisalech lifnei Elohim beor hachaim, in the Or HaChaim. What's the Or HaChaim? Rashi says, Lashuv l'Eretz Yisrael, to be able to return to the land of Israel. That is the Or HaChaim. Other people point out that perhaps it's referring to Olam Haba, right? We call it Eretz HaChaim, right? The Eretz HaChaim cemetery in Beit Shemesh, right? So again, you have different interpretations of what exactly this Or HaChaim is. Clearly, Pshat, Rashi's correct, right? David HaMelech wants to get back to the land of Israel. So we saw that there were three very distinct sections. Section number one was crying out, right? David prays for salvation from his captors. Section two is David expresses his trust that the day will come when his enemies will retreat, that they will no longer be there to persecute him. And section number three is David says, on that day, when you save me, Hashem, then I will fulfill my vows of thanksgiving for you. So again, when and why was this written? We start at the beginning, chapter 56. This is written as David's fleeing from the Plishtim. He's fleeing from Shaul. He ends up at the Plishtim. There he has to pretend to be crazy, feigns insanity, so that he can be thrown out, essentially, so that Achish isn't going to kill him. And instead says, what do I need more crazy people for? If you want to look it up, again, say for Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chaf Aleph, towards the end of the Perek. What is the genre of this parak? The genre of this parak is clearly crying out to Hashem in a time of need. It is a complaint against Hashem, followed by a request and an expression of trust. Those are kind of the three distinct sections. And I know different people like different chapters of Tehillim. Some people specifically like the chapters of Tehillim that are very specific to a historical context. And if you are one of those people, then this is the chapter for you. Because again, this is a very specific historical context. How do we make it relatable to us? That's what we always talk about. How do we make this chapter relatable to us? Please God, many of us don't have enemies that are chasing us down. Please God, we won't be caught in a palace where we have to feign insanity in order to escape our... So how does this parak speak to us? What is this parak all about? So I'm gonna read for you a Targum. And the Targum says something unbelievable. Targum says, L'shabcha al k'nishta di Yisrael. This is the Targum on the very first pasuk there. Ooh, what just happened? That this is a praise of the Jewish people. L'shabcha al k'nishta di Yisrael. I know it's in Aramaic, so we have to understand a little bit. But l'shabcha, it's a praise of k'nishta di Yisrael, the Jewish people. Dimitila Leona Shesoka Beidan Din Misrachin, that they are like the silent dove when they are Misrachakin Min Kravon, when they are distanced from the land. And despite that, Vichazrin Umishabchin Lamari Alma, despite the fact that they are in Gullus, despite the fact that they are distanced from their homeland, nonetheless, Vichazrin Umishabchin Lamari Alma, they come and they sing praise to Hashem. How do we know this? Hech David makir ushlim karachadu yasei plishtai begas. Like David, like King David, again, he wasn't the king at the time. Like David, who is makir ushlim. What is mach? Right? Remember in the introductory pasuk, we wondered, So we understood Yonat Elam, that David was like a silent dove. Richokim, he was distant. What's Michtam? So the Targum is pointing out that the word mach means injured. Mem chaf means injured. Tam, of course, means to be pure and to be whole. So what michtam means is that you are mich, you are mach, you are injured, but you are still tam. Despite the fact that you're injured, you still have a purity. Now, purity here doesn't mean like I showered this morning. Purity means that you have a purity of faith even in dark times. That's what michtam means. Mach means you're injured, you're going through a difficult time, but nonetheless, you are tam. Nonetheless, your faith in Hashem remains completely pure and completely intact. Now let's reread this targum. It's unbelievable. L'shabcha al k'nishta d'Yisrael. This is a praise of the Jewish people. D'metila l'yona shesoka, that we were like a silent dove. In other words, we didn't lash out. We didn't complain. We didn't argue. Ba'idan d'misrachim mikreon. Even when we were distant, we're in galus. Nonetheless, v'chazrim m'shabcha l'mariyama. Even though we were like David and we were injured, we also were pure like him. Mich tam. Even though we were injured, we weren't in our homeland. We were still tam. We were still pure. And therefore we praised Hashem. So says the Targum something amazing. You think this isn't relatable to you? This is very relatable to you. Because this is talking about the Jews who are in Gullus, who are injured. Anti-Semitism, persecution. They hate us. They hate us. We have to accept that. This week's Parsha, Am Levadad Yishkon, we're a nation that's always going to be lonely. We're injured. We're limping our way through Gullus. Anti-Semitism, assimilation, intermarriage. We're limping our way through Gullus. And yet, V'chazrin ha-mishabchin l'mari alma, we still praise Hashem, because while we are injured, our emuna in Him remains complete. So this is not an unrelatable parak, according to the Targum. This is a very relatable parak, because it means it's a chapter about anti-Semitism. It's a chapter about the Jews in Gullus. Lest you think that in exile we lose our faith. Lest we think that in exile we stop praising Hashem because of what we see around us, says the Targum, that is not the case. Mich tam, mach, even though we are injured, tam. We take a page out of David's book, out of Sefer Tehillim, out of this parak of Tehillim, and we remind ourselves that even when we are injured, and even when we are limping our way through Gullus, trying to survive both physically and spiritually, tam, we still maintain our faith in Hashem. That is what this parak is about, says the Targum, and that, I believe, is something that is very relatable to every single one of us. So again, I want to thank our sponsors for this morning, my in-laws, sponsoring it in honor of my wife's recent birthday and another birthday that also may have been recent. I appreciate it very, very much. And again, our learning should be for Refuah Shleima for all those who were affected in the tragedy in Sunrise last night. And hopefully now we took a chapter of Tehillim that we might have glossed over, we may not have even felt any appreciation for, and now hopefully we understand how it's unbelievably relatable, because it reminds us that even though we are down, we as a people are never out. Even when we are injured and limping, we still maintain the purity of faith in Hashem. With that, I want to wish everyone a beautiful day, and hopefully we'll see you back here tomorrow. 3 ideas in 30 minutes.